You're listening to V for Vertigo, episode 27.
Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
Ahoy hoy, welcome to V for Vertigo. And one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo Comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Johnson, and this week's review will cover Lucifer, A Dalliance with the Damned by Mike Carey and Peter Gross. Or Gross. I'm actually not quite sure on how to say that. Anyways, for those of you who have listened before, this is a new era for this podcast. As you can tell, it's just me today, and this week, and every week, because Rebecca's gone, and no one's surprised that Jonathan's gone. Honestly, I had a feeling he'd quit after episode 3. But Rebecca's quitting first changed all that. Go figure. Now, I could quit, and I thought about it, but honestly, I don't want to. Those who know me know I am many things, but definitely not a quitter. And honestly, I enjoy reading and talking about Vertigo Comics. You know what they say, if you don't find something that you'd like to hear or read or watch or whatever, do it yourself. So, the show's format will kind of basically be the same, but not really. I don't know. I'm just kind of winging it, people. It will be a weekly show, which may be good or bad. And the episode should be released on Sunday or Monday. It really depends what I have to do that weekend. And it's going to be a lot shorter. And maybe a lot more serious, because I have no one to make fun of. Although, I'll probably still make fun of Jonathan. Because it's so easy. Anyways, I will, however, try to make it somewhat entertaining, even though it's just moi. And this isn't video, you can't see all the crazy things I'm doing right now. And informative. My guess, and I don't know how accurate this is the show will run anywhere between 15 and 30 minutes. I'm guessing it's probably closer to 15 or 20. Hell, maybe even 10. But, you know what, it's free, and I don't know how much I can ramble on by myself. I'm only going to cover one book at a time, or a week, and try to cover some of the newer books alongside some of the classic series. As I said in the last episode, I will quit this podcast when I have covered every classic series, and you people should know what those are, but if you want to recap, it'll be Preacher, Sandman, and this is no particular order, Fables up to the Adversary plot, so that's resolved. Why, Transmet, Lucifer, and that's all I could think of. But before I get all there, I'll have to review some of the books that I bought, because, you know, they were Jonathan's picks. I'll be picking better books, I'll tell you that much. I'm also going to try to get some interviews lined up. I know I got one scheduled for next month. I'll try to get another one. Man, you know, I want Garth Ennis, but he doesn't have a website. I have no way of contacting him. Hey, Garth, if you're listening, you know, or his peoples, come on the show. I love you, man. You got me back in the comics. Which, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because now, I spent money. So, there's also going to be, I'm also going to try to have some guest hosts on from time to time. I don't know if I want another permanent host. I mean, to be honest, it'd be nice to have one, but I don't know if they could commit, because let's face it, people can't commit these days. It's full of quitters and shitters. That sounds like some kind of Texas saying, but I think I just might have made that up in rhyme. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to have one so I could discuss stuff with, but I'll settle for a guest host. But, you know, if anyone out there wants to talk and cover about some book they really, really love, let me know, because I'll be more than happy to have you on. Now to my faithful and loyal listeners, all five of you. I'm sure we still got you five. I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to need your help. To make it seem like I'm not talking to myself for however long this show runs, but I'm always talking to myself. I would love to have some questions or suggestions or email or feedback, whatever, even if they're non-comic related. That would be great. Yeah. Now, I suppose, to get on with the show, it's a really short opening. This is actually probably a really long opening since I had to explain myself on what I plan to do. I really do think this show's going to be like a 10-minute episode, minus whatever intro music I have. I don't know. Oh, before we start the serious stuff, I know some of you liked our pre-show rambling, but pre-whatever, the various bullshit we talked about before we covered the books. I don't know how you liked it. Every time I made a pop culture reference, Jonathan was like, wah, 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 wah. He had no idea what I was talking about. No idea. Yeah. But anyways, I was busy talking about myself. But I figured I could talk a little bit on some of the things I've been doing the past week. Which, to be honest, isn't much. Yeah, I don't know what I've been doing. The week just goes by. You know, days just bleed in one after another after another. It's all rather doo-doo. But check this out. I played the Batman Arkham Asylum demo for the 360. And I loved it so much that I believe I'm going to buy it. That'll be my first non-XBLA 360 game that I will have bought. I mean, my friend gave me Monopoly as a gift, which is great, but it has no online play. That really sucks. I really would love playing Monopoly with people. I love that game. My favorite game of all time, Monopoly. But yeah, I played the Batman game, and I got it. I said in round, when did my friends tell me video game prices are going up? I want to say 99 to 2000. Yeah, I think I knew way before anyone else knew. Anyways, they told me they were going up to $60, and I made a vow then that I would never spend money on a $60 game. I would never pay $60 for a video game because, quite honestly, no video game is worth $60. And then back then, I didn't even know there'd be such thing as DLC. So when you buy a $60 game, you're actually spending anywhere from $80 to $100. And that's not including some fancy smancy collector's edition, right? Luckily, Amazon has a deal, so I pre-ordered it. And then there's like a $5 code. If you check online, I'm sure you can find it. So it came out to 48? Yeah, 48. And since I haven't bought Wii Sports Resort yet, I just figured I'd buy the Batman game. The Batman game is really cool. If you loved or grew up on the Batman animated like I did, you'll love it. Because most of the voice actors are doing it. Specifically, the dude who voiced Batman and Mark Hamill as the Joker. And it's good. Harley Quinn, she's looking hot. I like the character model change on that. The only problem I have with the game is the fact that everyone looks like they're on fucking steroids. Even Commissioner Gordon. I know in the 90s cartoon they all had broad shoulders, which is like, eh. But they didn't look like they were all steroids. Maybe these guys who made the game watch a lot of baseball. Who knows? But they're all ripped. Even random X Arkham Asylum inmate is ripped. And I'm thinking, I know I got a prison yard in regular prison, but in a loony bin, I don't know I don't think they'd have a prison yard. Or like weights, you know? The combat itself is kind of... it's kind of eh. It's a lot of XXXXX, occasional Y to counter something when it pops up. XXXXY, the useless B button, which just throws the cape. Like, whoosh. And then XXXXX. It looks pretty. All the moves and shit, but in reality, you're pressing one fucking button. The key of the game is you actually are Batman. I mean, guys with fucking automatic weapons can easily kill you. So you go to the gargoyles and you like swoop down and then take them out. Well, that was tight, hanging them up there. And then you go there and they're like, where is he? Where is he? There he is. Then they're like, oh no, where'd he go? Where'd he go? I really enjoyed it. I was surprised. Yeah, I'm not, as people have listened, I'm not a huge Batman fan. I think Batman is the most, he's not a good character. He's a whiny bitch, Batman is. If you think about it, look at him and Spider-Man are pretty much the same character. At least origins and motivation-wise, right? They both feel guilty over what happened. But, I mean, Bruce was powerless to stop it because he was a kid. Peter chose not to. Now, Peter looks ahead to the future and tries not to make the same mistake. And he goes out of his way to help people because, you know, with great power comes great responsibility and all that. He's more positive. Batman's just like, I couldn't save my parents. I'm so goth, I'm so whiny, I couldn't save them. It's like, come on. The one thing I do love about Batman are his villains. Because it's really a toss-up between him and Spider-Man on who has the best rose gallery. I think it depends on your mood. Although, with the Green Goblin back, that guy kind of knocks down Spider-Man. Because he should have been dead. But... yeah, I don't know. I hate Batman, but I love his villains. Especially Two-Face. So another game I played, and I bought on XBLA, was Turtles in Time. I am a huge Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. And I love this game. My friend had it, and then when I used to live like a block from him in high school, we'd go over and play cards and hang out and chill and shit. And then we'd play Turtles in Time. And it was great. Turtles in Time, it was a great game. However, it is not worth the $10, even if you're a huge Turtle fan. It should be like 7, maybe 5. I was very disappointed in it. It's, in some ways, it's a lot easier. Like the regular foot soldiers and the rock soldiers, they're easier to kill. And the only thing that really hurts you is the 3D. The levels are also easier. There's less, like, sewer holes, and there are no mousers. There's, like, these weird robots things. It's I don't know. The foot soldiers is disappointing because in the SNES, there were, especially the orange guys, they'd block your every move and then you'd have to throw them or like pound them, which is a lot harder to do in this game, to throw them or pound them. You can't even, there's not even that level where you're supposed to throw guys into the screen. I guess that's good because it's pretty hard, but they use their weapons here a lot less than they did in the original Ninja Turtles. But some of the levels are kind of harder. Like, the pizza monsters are harder. They should just pop. But the bosses are definitely harder because you would just... there are some bosses you just, like, double-team them and pound them into the ground. Beat them hella easily. But some are... a few are easier because there's no Super Shredder. Spoiler for people that wanted to play the 40 minutes to get the Shredder. There's no Super Shredder where he would turn you into a baby turtle and die and freeze you and move hella quickly. There's no Rat King. I don't know why. It's like no Rat King. There's just a bunch of pizza monsters, which admittedly are kind of harder because they're harder to kill.
There's no Rocksteady and Bebop. There's Tokar and Razor. There's no that other turtle that... Fuck, I can't remember his name. In the prehistoric time, there's like some goo guy instead of that one mutated or turtle. It's like, what's going on? Did they not have rights to all these characters or something? Or they just wanted to make it too easy? I don't know. It's a good game. I mean, I'll play. I'll be down to play with anybody. But I mean, they also took away some of the moves. I can't do my dash, flip, slide. That probably upset me more than anything. So, yeah, I guess I'm done talking about random stuff. I wanted to talk about District 9, but I didn't go out and see it. Damn, I'm never getting to a movie theater. I did see Quarantine. I finally started to work my way to the stack of DVDs I have. Yeah, people, if you haven't seen Quarantine, don't watch it. It's boring. I was tweeting about it so much, it bored the shit out of me.
Vertigo News.
So, I suppose I should start off with the Vertigo News. There is news this week. I'm sure there will be every week, since I get it from the blog most of the time. Now, this week's news is a bit weird. Playboy.com, of all places, is posting exclusive previews of two of Vertigo's crime lead titles, Filthy Rich by Brian Azzarello and Victor Santos, and by Brian Azzarello and Victor Santos, and Dark Entries by Ian Rankin and Werther Del Edra. Edra? These names suck. I'm an oral listener, which is A-U-R-A-L. It started last Tuesday, and ended Friday. I don't know how long the pictures will plan to be there, but you know, you should, if you your site's not blocked, whether at work or from your parents, you should go check out Playboy.com. What I found interesting is that they decided to put it on Playboy. Because when I think of Playboy, I don't think of comics. Oh, wait, no, actually, I take that back. When I subscribed when I was a teenager, the one thing I did love were the one-page comics that they had in there. They were great. They were pretty funny, too. Like, I would buy a book of Vertigo comic, or those comic strips that they have, or had. I think they still have them. I'm not sure. I haven't bought a Playboy in years. I get my porn on the internet now for free most of the time. But it's like Playboy. Oh, well, you think they would go with some family friendly, or that would be most related to comics? What's funny is though, when I read Playboy, I did read it. I mean, you know, aside from looking at pictures and jacking off, I did read it because they had good interviews and articles, or at least they did. I don't know if they still do. Especially with everything, Prince dying and everything's moving to the internet. But they used to have it. And here's a little bit tidbit for you people. Like, Playboy, where everyone knows the Q&A interviews, you know, where you got Q, question, and then A, answer. That's originated in Playboy. From Alex Haley, who's known for Roots and the Autobiography of Malcolm X. Both great reads. You should read it, even if you're not black. And watch the movies. Yeah, so that's all the news I got for the week. And I suppose I should get on with this week's review.
And now it's time for the rundown.
Now this week's review is, like I said before, or in the beginning, Lucifer, Dalliance with the Damned by Mike Carey and Peter Gross. I'm just calling him Gross. Yeah. So, in this trade, a lot of things happened. Lucifer succeeded in his plan to build his own universe. And afterwards, he did what Yahweh did. He moved around, created stuff the same way, which was interesting. But the most entertaining thing to read was the reenactment of the whole Adam and Eve thing. And there was even a serpent in the garden. Now, while Lucifer is doing all this, Mazikeen goes to her family, the Lilim, to try to get her face back. They try to kill her. Because, I don't know why they try to kill her. Maybe it's because, unlike them, she could move around without that much magic. She could move around in our world. Or maybe it's because, she was Lucifer's whore. Or maybe they resent the fact that she looks somewhat human. Or she did. She looks human now, but she did when she only had the half face thing. They try to kill her, but, she survives and becomes a new leader. Now, the main story of this book and what the trade is titled after is a strange one. It takes place in Hell, where the demons there like to pretend they're lords from the, 17th to 19th century, whose quote-unquote crop is based on pain and torment of the damned they torture. Now, Lys, she's the hot, slutty demon daughter of the main lord there, and she decides to have a fling with one of the damned, named Christopher Rudd. Now, after all the sex and parties and whatever else they do, Rudd eventually learns the truth of everything there through some weird demon cat, but I'm not sure he's a cat. I'm not even know what the damn thing's name is. And Rudd kills Lys's brother, who was plotting to start a rebellion and overthrow Lys's father. And Rudd becomes a lord. That's got to be weird. He also gets back at Lys and makes her feel guilty. Because Lys is a bit of a druggie, we should say. She likes to snort the pain that they produce, but he gets it so... is it guilt? Yeah, he gets it so they're secreting guilt instead. So, at the end of the book, Lucifer, he gets a ton of visitors that want to go to his universe because this one sucks. And he only talks to three. He talks to Pharamond, who helped him in the first trade, I believe. And he tells him someone's plotting to kill Lucifer. Lucifer's not surprised because someone's always plotting to kill him. But Pharamond warns him that, these people act like they've succeeded. But Lucifer, he's smart. He's a smart dude. He already had a figure. Something was wrong when the Bastinos helped him out last time. And he then talks to the Lilim, who offered to be his army. He says no because, in his creation, he's God. He has a lot of power in our world now. All things considering, the motherfucker's pretty powerful, right? But in his universe, he's God. So it's like, a million troops are useless there. Now that causes Mazikeen to leave him and earn yet another enemy. Now lastly, Michael goes to Lucifer and says that God doesn't want there to be two creations and that he must stop. Now, of course, Lucifer gives his answer, but the only way he can. He gets rid of the gateway, but instead creates multiple gateways into his world and various parts of the universe so that anyone that can leave Yahweh's creation can go to his. So, my review. Now, even though this might be my favorite trade, I'm not entirely sure. Isn't this one or the next one? They're all really good. It's one of the things with the Lucifer series is, whereas as much as I love, say, Preacher, has some trades that are stories or whatever that are clearly way better than others. But Lucifer maintains a high level throughout, which is very hard to do. Normally, they build up or there's ebbs and flows. Maybe it's because things are off or they're newer or whatever. However, as much as I enjoyed this book, the art still bugs the hell out of me. I don't know whether it's because Gross was busy or something. I probably should check his bio. That might be what a responsible host does. I don't know if Gross was busy, but I like Gross. I don't like Dean Ormstenzart, even though I like his name because it reminds me of Ormagon, which no one has any idea what that is, but if you played Imagination or maybe watched the show, I don't know if Ormagon is on there. Yeah. Now, Ormagon, I was going to call him Ormagon. Now, Ormstenzart, when it comes to demons and creatures and monsters and all that weird fantastical stuff, is excellent. But when he tries to do something human, they don't look human. They have all these, like, pockmarks on their faces, and they're extremely thin and bony looking. I mean, here he only does the first couple issues, which is good. And after that, the story and the art does get a whole lot better. Because Mazikeen's story is the weakest. I mean, I think there's not really told what she's after. I think it's because of the face. That's what she said last issue. But like, why go to the Lilim? What can they do? And then when she becomes leader, she doesn't even try to get her face back. There's not much. I mean, there shows more of Mazikeen later, but there's no build up as to her motivation. It's kind of like in Sandman why Lucifer. Yeah, he's just up and left hell. No reason. There's no foreshadowing. Not even a little bit. Because I was looking for that shit. Alright. So Mazikeen's just like, yeah, I'm leader now. That's cool. Let's get a move on. Now, the best thing about this trade, and why it's possibly my favorite, is what Lucifer does with his universe. I mean, he creates one, but instead of changing things like Yahweh, and I'm talking about the building blocks of life, atoms and molecules and all that other matter, antimatter and all that stuff. I have no idea about, because I'm human, I don't know much about that crap. He builds it the same way. He could have done things differently, but he didn't. Now, on the one hand, it could be, you know, that's where he learned. He learned from his father, Yahweh. So, I mean, what does he know? He said himself he only had limited time to do what he did. Or maybe he did it because it is the most efficient way. It's hard to say. I like that it's not really answered, you know. Now, in Lucifer's own Garden of Eden, what happens there is brilliant stuff. In the span of an issue, Carrie's able to tell what's wrong with religion and the people that believe in them. It's a shame Jonathan quit before we could cover this, because, you know, I was, him being Mr. Religious and all, I was rather curious as to what he would say. And I like it how it was Adam that ruined everything. Because in these days, it is always Eve. It's hard to say. I don't believe the story of Adam and Eve are true to begin with. But since some people take them at face value, it's hard to believe if it was true, which is, it's not, people, that Eve gets blamed for everything. I have a feeling that people might have, or they did, I should say, take the fable, or fact, the wrong way when she took a bite of the Tree of Knowledge, you know. Because she took a bite of it and then learned stuff. Learned that things were not all kosher. And that there's pain and stuff. And, you know, they say ignorance is bliss, and it is. I wish I was dumb sometimes. So I can have that and maybe have a little bit more fun. Wah, wah, wah. But, you know, here it's... I like how there's none of that. There's no apple, magical apple. Because, I mean, it is a fable. A magical apple that tells you knowledge and Yahweh says, yeah, don't eat this. Like, huh? And then a snake whispers in. Here, a snake, who's actually the angel who Lucifer's going to duel in a year, whose name I'm forgetting, he whispers to Adam and fools him and gets him to learn about, well, Lucifer wouldn't want this, and then Adam just goes completely bonkers and stuff. Even though Lucifer's only thing in the garden when he makes them is, don't worship me. That's all I ask. Don't do it. And then Adam does. It's kind of sad at the end because, you know, he kills Adam. I think Adam wants to die because he can't stand doing wrong and he likes to inflict pain on himself. But he kills Adam, and then he asks Eve what she wants. And, you know, she's like, well, I guess I kind of want to die too. Well, oh, which I am curious to what, where do their souls go? Because where is there an afterlife in his universe, and who's in charge of it? I mean, you know, right now he only has two people in there. But like, is there a heaven or hell, or did he just get rid of all that shit? No, I don't even think that question's answered. You know, that would be if Mike Carey ever comes on, that would be an interesting question to ask him. But you kind of feel bad for Eve because, you know, he kills her because she wants to die. Because she can handle being alone, even though he could have created another guy. But guys, men, we're stupid. He'd probably just do the same thing. And I do like what Lucifer says at the end, you know. One out of two. That's not bad. You know, coin flip. As they like to say in poker, we have a classic coin flip or a race here. It's like, oh no, really? Say it every time. Now, when it came to the the main plot of the book, A Dalliance of the Damned, I didn't like it. I just, honestly, I don't like stories that take place in the Renaissance era. Maybe it's because they talk all weird and stuff. Like, I don't know. I like the clothes, I like the setting, the wig, well, I mean, not, because, like, the wigs and stuff, and guys looking like girls with the makeups and doing the acting parts of girls. It's all very, very disturbing. Human race is a very disturbing race back in the day. Oh, but probably the main thing is all the politics about the era. Like, I don't care about politics. I don't care about them now. I didn't care about them then. Politics are full of liars and bullshitters. And even though I'm an extremely good liar, I don't like politics because I like people to tell me the truth. I prefer to be stabbed in the front. Thank you very much. Now, with that little weird kind of side tangent, I kind of did enjoy the story because it's not your typical Renaissance era. It's not even fucking Jane Austen meets zombies. It's hell, because hell up till now hasn't really been explored, and it has. It's kind of a whole world of many different facets, and this is a kind of facet, or an interesting facet, because they got a soul, they use damn to create a product. Which is good because, well, it's, I don't know if it's good, but I don't know because I don't know if the rules of hell in this are explained. Is it a place where you are supposed to torture people and eventually they repent and then you send them up to heaven? Or is this just the little one section where you just keep fucking with them to forever so you can use their byproduct and be rich? Now, what I realized reading this third trade, as I'm reading them more, you know, faster than when I originally read them, is that Carey, this is what I do like, Carey paints Lucifer as a somewhat sympathetic character throughout the trade. He does do good things, even if he destroys anyone that gets in his way, and he does keep his word. I mean, hell, in this trade, he looked out for Elaine Belloc when her dad was about to hit her, and he looked out for her twice. Not because that he considers, well, maybe because he does consider her his niece, or that he'll need her later. It's hard to say. But at the end of the trade, right? At the end of each trade, at least so far, and to show that he's still Lucifer and not a guy you want to fuck with, he shows Lucifer doing something quote unquote bad. In the first trade, he leaves the Indian girl there. Oh no, that's not it, because she can get out herself. He doesn't tell her that you might want to wish your brother back from the dead, you know, before you kill those things. And then, you know, he creates the enemy out of her. And then here, there's a couple that break into his Mansion of Silence house, the barrier gateway, who knows what it is. And then they're wandering around for days. And then at the end, the girl dies, but the guy's almost dead. And then, you know,
He could save him, but he doesn't. Now, it's hard to say why he doesn't save him. Because they trespass. Because they trespass? Or because, you know, he's like praying to Yahweh. And that's one way to piss Lucifer off. Like, why are you in my house? You broke in my house. You praying to him? You're just going to die. So, yeah, that's very good. It's a really good trade. I hope you people out there are following along. So I suppose I should wrap it up. Like I said, it'd be a short show, but it went on longer than I thought it'd be. It's probably because of my video game talking. Thanks for listening, thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to be a guest host sometime, drop me a line. Now, next week's pick will be War Stories Volume 2 by Garth Ennis. And I'd also appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes. You don't even have to type in a review. You just give me a star. I like 5, but I'll even accept 1 through 4. I wonder if they have a half star. You think they should. Now, visit the website to see what's coming up at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Email me with your questions, comments, or suggestions. Suggestions? Can't talk. At vertigocast@gmail.com. Leave a voicemail at the new voicemail number, since someone forgot to kind of renew it, at 206-339-6580. I'm pretty sure that's right. And visit the forums at thecomicforums.com. And goodbye, everybody. See you next week.